Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Monday, the 15th of March, 2021. On the podcast today, Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talks about Destiny's Pharma, Union Jack Oil, and Power Metal Resources. We also talk about the economy opening and lots of other nonsense. At the end of the podcast, as always, I have two lists for you. The top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most read RNSs too. You can check out both these lists at voxmarkets.co.uk, where you'll see lots of other content. In fact, there's an article there on mobile streams. There's one there on Piers Investments. There's one there on Union Jack Oil. Gfinity as well. Good bit of news from those and up strongly today. And of course, don't forget, check out our COVID-19 index. Biggest rise of the day is Gfinity. I did do a video about them on the weekend, suggesting that towards October, when warrants expire, now some of the sort of big sellers are out, there's going to be a rise in the share price. Of course, just speculation and theory, but check it out. Just do a search for it on YouTube, you'll find that. Biggest fall of the day on that index is the Cromec Group, down 3% to 15.38. Check that out at voxmarkets.co.uk.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications. You're Al.
Good morning, Jus. Yes, apart from the fact that Spurs lost yesterday in the North London Derby, I'm bearing up.
Yeah, I know. My father-in-law's a season ticket holder for Spurs, and I sort of heard that. I thought, oh, he's not going to be happy this morning. But but you know what? Time is a great healer. We just talked about that. We said already it's the 15th, halfway through. I suppose we are halfway through. Halfway through this day, 15 and a half days, yeah. 31. Yeah. Yeah, halfway through March already, quarter one done, and we're coming out of lockdown. The sun is coming out. I've seen more blue skies in the last couple of weeks than I've seen for a long time, and yep. We're heading towards the easing of the lockdown restrictions. Of course, I'm bullish because I one of my biggest holdings is Escape Hunt, and like I said, it's the next month they can do outdoor games, which they do AR and VR. Which could be, I think, could be massive as well, because that Pokemon craze a while back, it gripped the world. I don't know if you saw them. Do you remember that Pokemon AR game that everyone was doing?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Those style kind of escape rooms games outside. Then a month after that, then is fully open, hopefully May, and I think the figures are looking good for the vaccinations and all that stuff. So, and some were saying to me that they worry about a third wave or fourth wave or whatever. I said, well, it's different this time. It is different this time because we now have a vaccine. 80%, I don't think people understand this, 80% of the hospital beds taken up were by over 80-year-olds. And so those now have been vaccinated. And if you see the hospital admissions gone down from 4,600 at peak on a daily basis, beginning it's a hospital, these people are severely ill, now down to 500. So you see, it's really having a good effect on that. And that'll stay up. We'll take on the profile. Just to explain, now you've got a vaccine, the effect and the profile will be a bit like a seasonal flu virus. You know, people will need jabs, the most vulnerable. Most of us won't need either, you know.
that's the thing. It will be akin to a flu jab. Obviously, you know, we've still got the mutation. We're in the early days of vaccine development. But obviously, the vaccines are working, and we are getting back to normal. But this will make you laugh. I have a friend who's a Chelsea fan, and every time Spurs lose, he sends me one of these memes through. And I got this thing through last night. Breaking news. Boris Johnson has just announced that everyone in the UK who was alive the last time that Tottenham Hotspur won the title has now been vaccinated. Which I thought it did make me laugh, actually, you know, despite the fact we lost. But yeah, that's you know, the rate of the vaccine, the rate of delivery of vaccines across the country has been fantastic, and to be applauded for that. And yeah, the prospect of getting back to normal, even just sitting outside in a pub garden, imagine that.
They're all booked out, apparently. So already, I've heard this on Radio 5 Live this morning, and apparently there are the pubs, and we've booked one already, but I mean, there are pubs now booking, because of course you have to be sort of socially distanced, they don't have the capacity, but there are some now booked out until September already.
That's incredible. I think it's well, you, of course, it's not just a case of going to a pub anymore. You're going to have to book. You're going to have to make sure that you've got the seating outside. So those pubs with big gardens will do well, and obviously the wet pubs, as it were, you know, will still probably struggle. But at least we are seeing some light at the end of the tunnel, which is great.
Yeah. Do you know what? As well, though, it's going to be it's going to be a third tiered, because I see now, like hospitality, like pubs like that, you know, getting back to normal, and also leisure companies, you know, Hollywood Bowl, Escape, and that getting back to normal. But the travel, it was hospitality, leisure, and travel, but travel is going to lag a bit, I think, because there are, I don't know if you see that there are certain countries now lagging behind in the vaccination. The EU, for example, you know, they turned down the AstraZeneca vaccine. The French president came out and said, oh, it's not safe. And then he'd do a U-turn. But they're lacking, because they've been sort of dragging their feet, and there's all these states that assign, you know, sign the you know, European Medical Council a bit slower and all that stuff than us. And we're sort of light-footed because we're a smaller country. You know, our vaccine programs have gone gangbusters, and they're now having another wave in Italy. There's certain lockdown restrictions. Yeah. So I think travel's going to suffer a bit, because unless you go into a country that's proven or you're vaccinated twice, then I think that's going to lag a little bit. But there may be some bargains in that area a bit later on. But at the moment, it's going on holidays is not straightforward, is it, at the moment?
Well, ironically, I think it's going to help stimulate the our economic recovery in the UK, because that will mean
domestic.
It'll mean staycation, so people will be spending their money at home. Obviously, the travel companies will suffer, but you know, by and large, hotels, establishments across the UK should see a benefit from that if there is lockdown.
It's a double whammy, isn't it, for European, like, sort of, holiday resorts. First of all, they're slow on the vaccination program. Then they're going to get knocked because people can't travel there. So they really have messed up a little bit here, haven't they?
Well, they have, yeah. It's short-sighted, but of course we know Macron was just bitter because Sanofi, the state the big French pharma company, bought out a vaccine that flopped miserably. So you know, I'd say that's just he's just bitter, twisted, and angry. But you know, being an ex-central banker, you'd expect nothing more, really. But there we go.
Anyway, staying with healthcare. I know you're going to talk about healthcare. Someone said to me they work in the healthcare industry. Any healthcare stocks out there worth looking at? And you're going to talk about one now, aren't you?
We are, and this is a company. Well, it's actually very close to my heart on a number of levels, because they're based at the Sussex Innovation Centre, which is where, of course, Brand Communications are based, and we've been working for many years. This is Destiny Pharma.
Can I tell you, when you walk through the doors of the Sussex Innovation Centre, do you feel a wave of inspiration, an aspiration there? It's like, is it music being played? Da, 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 da.
Well, there's whale music in reception, and there's just a very ethereal feeling.
No, I feel inspired. I like this place.
It's very open plan. There's a huge reception area and lots of very, very intelligent people sitting around and having sort of quiet discussions. There's a cafe there too, but sadly the cafe is closed at the moment. But once that reopens, of course, it'll be great. But it is a great place just to sort of mix in with and see companies. Of course, years ago I ran Share Crazy there. We found a Share Crazy, from the Innovation Centre, and got some very strong ties with it. But Destiny Pharma and the guys there have been there. up to their IPO sort of a few years back, and they're still going strong. It's a great place because there's just the opportunity to bump into people and get to know people. And of course, the Innovation Center have their own marketing team, and anything you do gets marketed out to a bigger investor audience anyway. So it's a win-win.
Anyway, Destiny's Farm, what are they doing?
Destiny Pharma. So Destiny Pharma have been developing for years. Their flagship drug is XF73, which is an antimicrobial drug, which is designed to counter and combat the hospital superbugs and post-operational infections, of which it's a huge problem, particularly in the USA. And they've gone through the phase one and phase two trials. XF73 has been hugely successful, and they put together they recruited 125 patients for the phase three trial, which is currently underway. Recruitment was completed at the end of 2020, and we're awaiting the results on those any time now. But Neil Clark, the chief exec, said back in October or September that they've made very good progress. And XF73 was proven to be a major value driver, with the US market alone worth well over $1 billion. And today, of course, we've seen the share price up 10%. Shares currently trading at 127 pence. They've been as high as 137p on the year, as low as 29p, but giving it a market cap of 75 million, which, set against what the company actually does, I think it's still way undervalued, compared to, say, the likes of Avacta and Synergen and others. Because there is a COVID angle, which I'll come on to in a second. But back in November, they raised $11.5 million at 65p to acquire the global rights for NTCDM3, which is a phase, another drug asset also in phase three development for the prevention of C. difficile, which is also a major cause of hospital infections. So the two complement each other, XF73 and the C. difficile drug. And in the placing... The placing also included an open offer at 2 million, and the company raised that successfully. They took on a lady called Dr. Stephanie Buick as chief business officer. Stephanie Buick has formerly worked at Summit Therapeutics, of course, NASDAQ-based company, and the company really is in the process of setting a stall out to once we know the results of the phase three clinical trial, then its next steps. But the announcement today really validates almost the expectations for the outcome of that phase three trial. It's entered an agreement with the U.S. government, the National Institution of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, and they are working with the U.S. government and will use the NIAID program to complete preclinical safety studies for XF73, which, of course, is its first-in-class drug candidate. So this is another step along the road to full validation and approval for XF73. And, of course, once that happens, then I think we'll see a huge explosion in value. But I mentioned the COVID angle. Last September, the company announced a joint venture with Sporgen to develop COVID-19 immunity. Now, Destiny Pharma's approach is to use the innate human immune system to develop the solutions. And again, they're using the innate human system again here to create a nasal spray, which will be easy to produce in high volume. And they received an £800,000 grant from Innovate UK to complete that work. So we expect to hear more news on the Sporgen joint venture as we go forward in the year. But nonetheless, at 75 million, I think Destiny Pharma is very well valued even now compared to its peer group. And looking forward to the next developments, in particular the results of the phase three trial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard to pinpoint value, isn't it? It's so many different companies, but I think with
pharma stocks, it's just comparative value, isn't it? Relative value, but we've seen already pharmaceutical companies listed on NASDAQ, for instance, have a much higher valuation because U.S. investors look at it differently. And I would imagine that's probably something that Destiny Pharma is considering or will be considering a dual listing in the U.S. to obviously give better exposure to US investors. So,
hang on, do you know that, or are you just speculating?
No, I don't. No, that's pure speculation.
Come on, Alan.
That's rampy.
Rampy Ali.
Okay. That's CEO. That's something that obviously, you know, the board have not said. But I would imagine, given where other companies have gone, such as Tiziana Life Sciences, for instance, you know, that is a possible step that the company will take. But I don't know that. That's not been confirmed. So please don't act on that at all. Just act on what's already out there.
Red flag there, Ad. It's a red flag. Rampy Al. That's a ramp. That's a red flag. Red flag ramp. That's what I'll do in the future, Al, with you, okay? If I hear a red flag ramp, I'll just say, red flag! Rampy red flag.
Okay. All right. Red card. Sent off.
You're not sent off. I'm just a warning. Maybe it's not a red flag, but I'll give you... But it works with alliteration, red flag ramp. But a warning, okay? It's a warning, Al.
My first public warning. Okay.
Okay. On to the next one. Be careful now, Al. Tread on thin ice here. Okay.
Right, we're on. We're talking about Union Jack Oil now, those of you who follow Union Jack Oil will have seen an interview I did with David Bramhill, which was released in conjunction with the RNS out this morning from the company. As we know, Union Jack Oil, the shares are currently trading 37p. The year high was 64p, but of course this follows a 200-to-1 share consolidation that took place a short while ago, and the company has a market capitalization still of 38 million. But it has a number of assets in the UK. It's focused on onshore oil and gas exploration, drilling, developing and investing into projects in the north of England. The largest of which is the West Newton project in East Yorkshire, where Union Jack owns 16.6%. The progress to date is David was discussing on the interview that west to east the potential field extends 2.5 kilometres. North to south they haven't scoped out yet, but we're going to have news on that very shortly. The B1Z well has been very successful. Raybold Resources, who are operating the site, are on schedule. Then they have the Wrestle project. There was a lot of wrangling with the local council in regard to progressing. Egdon Resource, of course, are the operator on there, and David Bramhill said in the interview that there were oil tankers leaving site and the oil tankers weren't full of water, so that project's running well and is on schedule. Wrestle is in fact the largest undrilled onshore prospect in the UK to date, so that's and Union Jack Oil own 27.5% of that. Biscothorpe, also in the same region, 22%. Targets have been established, and the initial surveys, I think, disappointed, but the new drill targets have been established at Dynation and Westphalian, set to drill by the end of the year, and also at Kennington there are barrels to recover too. But to take the company in a slightly different direction, the company announced this morning it had acquired from Cambridge Petroleum a royalty agreement for the Piper, Claymore and Scapa fields in the North Sea, where it will earn 3% of gross production. Of course, production from those fields in excess of 1.7 billion barrels and 262 billion cubic feet. The royalties will return yield in the region of 25 to 29%, giving an internal rate of return of 129%, and payback net of petroleum tax is expected in less than a year. So this is a different direction for Union Jack Oil, and you can hear David Bramhill expand on the rationale behind this on the interview that I did with him. But I think there's a good spread of risk there. Clearly, whether you view this as a good investment or not will largely be governed by your view on the oil price, where the oil price is going. But David is a seasoned industry veteran and has, I think, provided some very good returns for his shareholders in the past. So Union Jack Oil.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I've had David on the podcast many a time. Nice fella. And, you know, he's an old hand at the old game, isn't he? He's been there for years doing that, you know.
He has, yeah. He's an industry veteran in every sense of the word, but has masses of energy and, as you said.
Industry veteran, that's what I should say, rather than old hand. That sounds better.
Yes, yeah. industry veteran, yeah, with huge amounts of knowledge and understanding, and also he's got a fellow, you know, his technical director there, Graham Bull, has 50 years experience in the industry too. So, you know, seasoned industry veterans working these fields, you know, the best people to have in charge, really. They've seen it all, been around the block, and understand, you know, they've got a very good understanding of the market and also what they're buying into as well. So I think it's an interesting direction, and of course it just broadens the and lessens the overall risk from the company, because it's now exposed to a different revenue stream.
Yep. Graham's going to be bullish on oil, isn't he, with a name like Graham Bull?
Yes, yeah. Graham Bull.
He can't be a bear. He's born a bull. Literally born a bull. Right, what's next, Al?
His middle name is oil. Yeah, that's it.
Graham Oil Bull. What's next, Al?
Okay, want to finish off with Power Metal Resources. POW is the epic code, prisoner of war, but Power Metal Resources, of course, run by...
prisoner of war, don't we? if you have to remember it, prisoner of war.
That's it. Just remember the epic code, prisoner of war. But shares currently trading at 2.17p, have been as high as 3.5p on the year, as low as 0.16, giving a market cap of just under 25 million. But for that money, you get an absolute raft of projects that Paul Johnson has been driving throughout the year. In Australia, I'm just going to list these briefly, because there's a lot to go into. Otherwise, there's not a joint venture with Red Rock Resources, 49%, 51% in favour of Red Rock in the Australia goldfields, and of course that's Victoria, where ECR Minerals are based. There's a raft of licences in there, which the company is developing into another company, and has applied to IPO that company out separately. So that's Red Rock Australasia. There's a joint venture, a holding company set up, Canny Resources, between Kavanga Resources and Power Metal in Botswana. And that's, of course, the Ditel Rare Earths Project and the Kalahari Copper Belt Project on the South Ghazi Ridge. Also in Botswana, we have the Malopo Farms Project, which is a nickel-copper platinum group metals project. Drilling was underway for the latter part of last year. And assay results are being awaited from a South African laboratory. We then moved to Canada, and this morning the company announced that the Silver Peak project, it acquired now 30% of that project. It's paid for them in cash. Power Metal is very well funded. It's raised nearly $3 million in warrant exercises since August last year, so there's plenty of money in the kitty, and it's acquired 30% of Silver Peak, and that project also will be IPO'd off separately, so that'll be the paperwork is underway for that at present. In Canada too, I did a session on this last week. There's in the Hemlo-Schreiber Greenstone Belt, and this is on the north shore of Lake Superior, which is a fertile territory. There are literally hundreds of companies operating there, and of course you've got the Barrick Hemlo gold mine, which is a world famous mine, and the Pure Gold mine also in the region too. So the Hemlo-Schreiber projects, the company has acquired four projects there, will be hearing news on surveys and site sampling and drill targets a little later on in the year. We then go to the DRC. There's the Kasinga Copper Cobalt Project, where Power Metal owns 70%. Magnetic survey completed there. In Tanzania, there's the Heneti Project, which is a joint venture with Katoro Gold. Power Metal owns 35%, Katoro 65%. Drilling undertaken there, assay results expected. And then finally back to the US, where they have the US Alamo Gold Project. The ground exploration program now completed and technical review is underway. So all of those projects are owned by Power Metal at the percentages that I've outlined. The company is very well funded. 24 million, I think, is very cheap given where we are in the commodity cycle at the moment, and also particularly on the precious metal front with the price of gold and silver. So I've said before on other podcasts, any one of these projects comes to fruition, it'll dwarf the current market cap. But that's, of course, it's just my opinion, and you'll have to make your own mind up on that. Nonetheless, there are three IPOs coming out of these of three of these projects. So, a really exciting year in prospect for Power Metal Resources.
Excellent. So it's a lot going on there, isn't it? I prefer a simple story, to be honest. I'm quite a simple person.
It's incredible. Well, I interviewed Paul Johnson, Paul, I said to him, you must be working 25 hours a day, 8 days a week, and he completely agreed. He was.
He probably said, no, I'm not doing a lot, really. they're just cracking on. They just send me stuff, and I'd say,
the one thing is he's very well organised. He's got a very strong team behind him, and of course, very strong management teams on the ground in all of the areas in which they're operating. So, there's so much going on. There's news from this company out every week, and there will be, I'm sure, some exciting developments before this month is out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool. Marvellous stuff. A very itchy ear. I don't know what that is. What is that a signal or something? Itchy palm is money, isn't it? But the itchy ear, what is that?
Itchy palm. By the way, NFTs, non-fungible tokens. Did you get your Kings of Leon album?
Yes, I've got it. Yeah, download it, done that. I don't know what to do with it, really. I started listening to a couple of tracks, and I don't know what else is I do with it now.
Okay. A colleague of mine has just bought an NBA baseball card for $5 as an NFT, and I'm trying to work through this because you don't own the rights to the video clip of somebody scoring a basket or whatever it is, because I don't follow basketball. The video clip, you own that video clip within the context of the NFT, and clearly, if somebody else wants to buy it, then you can put it up for sale and sell it for huge amounts of money. But there's a lot of stuff selling for an awful lot of money. It's incredible.
I don't really get it, do you?
No, well, I'm trying to. After we spoke about this last week, somebody came onto LinkedIn and commented on the podcast and said, and commented on the legalities, the framework, i.e., the legacy issues. So, you buy an NFT, 10 years' time, you decide, eventually, when you expire, and that's passed on. How does that then get passed on? What is the legal framework encompassing that's recognised, and your authentic or the certificate of authenticity and all the rest of it that goes with it? How do we know that's yours? And I guess that's the key issue behind it. I'm sure after this we'll get lots of people saying, oh, it's very straightforward. It's actually this. Well, I'd like someone to tell me that, because that's the part of it I don't understand. But I'm having a chat with Malcolm Pally tomorrow, so maybe Malcolm can put me straight.
In fact, do you know what is worth looking at? Click the technology show on BBC. It's worth looking at that. They covered it this weekend. I was half talking and half watching it. They talk about it. And there is a worry about blockchain, just the power, the amount of power it's using.
I saw the chart.
It's worth looking at that. It's interesting. I don't understand. I've got it, but I don't know what I do with it now. I think if it's a matter of just trading, I can't be bothered, because I'll just hold it for a while. Thing is, if it was a big hit, this album, that would help, wouldn't it? If it's not a big hit, have they gone off the ball? Kings of Leon. If this album's a big hit and there's a limited amount there, then I suppose it'll do well.
Another example, an artist that we know through the family has a big Instagram account. There's an app called Foundation, I think, where as an artist you can set up a profile and then become verified and then sell your art. So this fellow dug through his old archive, found a JPEG that he designed years ago, stuck it up, and somebody paid 2 Ethereum for it within 24 hours. That's about £2,500. So, yeah. Any old JPEGs hanging around in your design folders, just
I go through my design folders looking for JPEGs. Marvellous. Cheers. I don't know where it's going. I thought I'd just just as an experiment, see if I can do it. I've got it. I've got it there, sitting there. I don't know what to do with it. But to me, I don't know. Are they all sort of unique or what? Because they can't be unique, can they? I suppose one bit of art is, but they can be copy and pasted, can't it? I don't understand, really. It's digital.
Well, I think so, but I'm guessing in commercial terms. So let's say somebody sees you, right, and thinks, oh, I'm actually going to produce an ad for Coca-Cola and I want to use this piece of art in there. At that point, then the ownership really kicks in. Then, so I guess it means that you can prove you own it. So you can go to Coca-Cola and say, hey, you know that nice ad you produced? Well, you use my image and I want my cup. So, you know, that's probably how it works. But I think it's just the understanding the mechanics of that process. Once I'm up to speed with that, then I'll be buying NFTs left, right, and centre.
Left, right, and centre. Literally obsessed with it. And the missus saying, Alan, come off there. Yes. Stop buying those NFTs.
What are you doing?
I just got to buy some more. So I'm trading NFTs. I'm trading a basketball shot from 1971. Okay, brilliant. Brilliant. All right, marvellous. Thanks for that. And we'll speak to you next week.
Just being this week.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five. What is it? Source Bio International, non-mover 187. At four, 88 Energy, up 43% to 1.175. At three, Premier Africa Minerals, really, up 20% or 21% to 0.375. At two, Canadian Overseas Petroleum, Coppel. Up, just below 1% to 0.352. And at one, Omega Diagnostics announced a contract today. Decent contract, but it's a non-mover there. I don't know why that is. There we are. Maybe it's priced in. Sometimes the journey is better than the arrival destination, as they say, but maybe not. It's a big chunky contract, so who knows? Some people sell on news, don't they? Okay, here we go. Top five most read RNSs are as follows. At five, it's Ferroy Alloy Strategic Investment, an appointment of chairman. At four, Union Jack Oil, purchase of royalty interest. At three, Gfinity announces partnership with Map Genie, up 17% today on that. Novacyte, two holdings in company. And at one, Omega Diagnostics, public sector contract disclosure. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Much of us appreciate it.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.